Corinthians chapter 8. One in your right hand, one in your left. Jeremiah chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And my subject today is knowing God. Knowing God. Or being known of God. Knowing God or being known of God. We're gathered here today, and I preach as all other gospel preachers do, with the intent of making God known as He is from His Word. And I think as I make Him known and as I understand Him from the Scriptures, I can't make Him known to you. I can't make Him known to you. But you'll never know Him if somebody don't tell you about Him. And the object of the Scriptures, the whole object of the Scriptures, is for God to make Himself known to human beings. In fact, the Bible opens in the beginning, God opens that way. First words out of the Bible. In the beginning, God. We're confronted with God. Right off the beginning, open in the Bible. First thing we're confronted with is God. And so, how in the world will somebody come to know God? Well, look what it says here in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord. Now God's speaking. And that's what we got to have. Thus saith the Lord. Not the preacher now. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let him don't let him glory in his power and his authority, his strength, his PhDs, his doctor's degrees. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't let him sit and start counting his money, saying, you know, I've got enough to do me and do all my kids and I'm okay. But let him that glorieth, and this word glory means to boast in, rejoice in, or brag about. But let him that glorieth glory in this, rejoice in this, that he understands and knows me, knows the true and the living God, that I am the Lord. That's who he says, let him glory in this. Knows that I am the Lord. Knows that I exercise loving kindness. Knows that I exercise judgment. Knows that I exercise righteousness. And I do these things in the earth. And these are the things I delight in, saith the Lord. So you see, that's what the Scriptures is making known. God said here, this is what, if a fellow's going to glory, let him glory in this. That he knows me. That he knows me. Understands some things. Understands that I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And I delight in these things. This is what I delight in. And what he delights in, if we know it, is what we delight in. Now look over 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 3. It says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now what that means is that if a man loves God, we don't know that about him. But the reason he loves God, because God knows him. If a man loves God, that same person is known of God. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And you know, it's been my objective, and I want it to be my objective as long as I live and as long as I'm a preacher, as long as I pastor a church, wherever I go, is to make God known, not only for myself, but for others. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ came for this purpose. He says, I am come that they might know Thee. Know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And you see, beloved, that's what our Lord came. That's what eternal life is. It's knowing God. It's understanding, knowing God. Now, what's the best thing in life? What's the best thing that we've had in this life? What is brings us more joy, brings us more peace, brings us more comfort, brings us more contentment, brings us more enjoyment of life than anything else in this world? It's knowing God. It's knowing God. Oh my, if there wasn't even a heaven to go to, I'd still want to know God. I'd still want to be a believer. Wouldn't you? I'd want to know Him. I'd want to enjoy Him. And all the joy and peace that we have in believing, the contentment and comfort that we have. And now when we talk about knowing God and use the term knowing God, and this word know means to understand. That's what he says. Knowing means to understand some things about Him. What is this term, knowing God? Is this a special sort of emotion that gets people in a transom, you know, and they sway and all that? Is it when you get goosebumps and shivers? People say, the Lord's in this place. I've got goosebumps all over. Mary sneezed the other day and got goosebumps over her. And I said, she said, look at all these goosebumps. Does that mean God was there? No, but that's what people think. He said, well, I just feel like I'm walking on air. Is it having thrills and great excitement, being exhilarated? Is it hearing a voice? Is it seeing a vision? Knowing God, when we use this term, is it a special sort of intellectual experience that you just, all of a sudden, your mind just, all of a sudden you have this great intellectual experience and you come to the conclusion that there's a higher power out there, there's a God out there? Is it strange thoughts going through your mind and you're trying to figure out what life's about? But the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that God can be known. Teaches us that. But what takes place? What takes place when a God is known to a soul? When can it be said? When can it be said that we as individuals know God? Know Him. Understand Him. Have a acquaintance with Him, a fellowship with Him, a communion with Him, an enjoyment with Him, a conversation with Him, intercourse with Him. And I tell you something about knowing God. It's a heap sight more complex than knowing a fellow man. You see, human beings can cover up. And we do it all the time. Yes. Human beings can cover up and not show what's in their hearts. I don't know what's in your heart this morning unless you tell me. I don't know what's in your mind unless you speak your mind. I don't know. You know, you can know a person for years, and I've had people tell me this, and I've experienced it myself. You can know a person for years, know them for months, and do things with them for years, and end up saying, evidently, I didn't really know them at all. After what they did, the things they done, how could they have done that? I thought I knew them. I thought I understood them. And come to find out they're entirely a different person than they let you know themselves to be. You see, what we know of a person depends upon what they'll let us know about themselves. You don't know anybody unless they let you know. And as they make their heart known to you. And that's the way it is with God. We can only know God as He allows us to know Him. And you can only come into fellowship with Him as He allows you to come into fellowship. And He'll only let you know what He wants you to know about Him.
Amen.
And the first thing He wants you to know about Him, and the first thing He'll make you know about Him, is that He is God and He has no rivals. That He is God Almighty. And He ain't going to be questioned. He ain't going to be put in our balances. He's not going to be put in our little box and say, this is the way He acts, this is the way He's going to do. No. If He makes us know Him and reveals Himself to us and makes Him known to us, the first thing we're going to know, He's God. He's God. And that's why the Scripture says only in His light. The Scripture said in Psalm 36:9, in Thy light we see light. And the Scripture says in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing. Nothing except it be given him from heaven. And this is what astounds me. This is what really astounds me and still astounds me. Astounded me years ago and still does. And it actually, I just stand in wonder at it. That God is willing to let us know as much about Him as we desire to know. Have as intimate acquainted with Him as we want to know. converse with him as much as we want to, fellowship him as much as we want to, understand as much about him as we possibly can. He's willing to do that for us. Right? Well, how do we come to know God? How do we come be known of God? Well, I'm going to tell you, the first thing is this. To know God is a matter of grace. It's an act of grace. It's an act of sovereign grace. And what I mean by that is that if we know God at all, or we know God, it's yet God Himself takes the initiative. Job asked the question, canst thou by searching find out God? Men have constantly been trying to find out God. I heard some fellows this morning talk about they thought they found the ark again. I don't care if they find two arcs, three arcs. It don't make any difference. If they found the ark that they put the tables of the law in and the Aaron's rod that budded and the pot of manna, it wouldn't make any difference to me. God was known before any of these things was ever made.
Amen.
And these were just emblems that God gave for men to know and to make Christ known. But if we know God, God has to take the initiative. He's so far above us. The Scripture says He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the earth and the things that are in heaven. Why does He have to do even humble Himself to behold the things in heaven? Because He's so far above everything else. He's so far above us, and here's what we know, that we have no claim on Him, that we have no rights to Him. We cannot come to Him and tell Him what He must do. We can't say, you owe me because. Why can't we say he owes us? Because we're sinners, shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. And He's the God of glory. Now let me show you how, when God made Adam and Eve, and they were in the garden, when Eve was deceived and she took of the fruit and gave it to her husband Adam, and Adam ate it, and they fell. Christ came and talked with them. God came and talked with them in the cool of the day. And they had enjoyed God and God enjoyed them until Adam took of that fruit. They were created naked. They stayed naked. They enjoyed themselves in the garden naked. And then all of a sudden when they ate, Adam and here got them a big fig leaf, covered their nakedness, and went and hid in the bush. Got down behind the bush about the time that the Lord was supposed to come. Now, God told him that the day you eat that, you're going to die. You're going to be separated from me. You're not going to have communion with me. You're not going to fellowship with me. You're going to be cut off from me. And not only that, but physical death is going to come and you're going to go into corruption. So here he is. He's hid behind this bush. Now, God could have walked away and left him right there and pronounced judgment on him and left him to himself. But what did God do? God took the initiative. Adam, where art thou? Well, I'm naked. Who told you you was naked? Sin told him he was naked. Shame told him he was naked. Guilt told him he was naked. God took the initiative. He went to where Adam was, and not only did He come and find Adam and address Adam and knew where he was and knew the condition he was in, He went and slew the animals, took the skins, shed the blood, and covered their nakedness with the blood and righteousness of another one.
Amen.
God did that. God did that. God takes the initiative. That's how they come to know God, as a God, a just God and a God of mercy and grace. And that's why it says, when the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. When? When he is an idolater, when he is an Ur of Chaldees. And I tell you, people say, well, we don't find God. God finds us. We don't commune with God until He first communes with us. We don't make friends with God. God comes and makes friends with us. He brings us to know Him. And how does He do that? By making His love, making His power, making His grace known unto us.
Amen.
Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Well, he lived 30 years a God-hater, a Christ rejecter. You reject Christ, you reject God. You hate Christ, you hate God. And that's what happened. He grew up to despise and hate the Lord Jesus Christ with a passion. But he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and then on the Damascus Road, On the Damascus Road, called me by His grace. Put me in the dust. Made Himself known to me. Not as God who I thought He was, but as God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Put me down and made me to understand who He was. God took the initiative there. And oh, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look over here in Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 4, where I was at a minute ago. Where I read this morning. Look at this one. Galatians 4:9. When we look at this word know, to know, when used of God in this way as a sovereign grace word, showing God's initiative in loving us, choosing us, redeeming us, calling us, preserving us. He knows us. He knows us. And oh, beloved, that's why He told Moses. He says, Moses, I'm going to do this thing for you because I know you. I know your name. I know your name. I know you personally. I know you intimately. And I'm going to do this thing for you because I know you. Look here in Galatians 4:8-9. Howbeit then, before God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, taking that initiative, when you knew not God, you did service and you served them which were not, by nature, not gods at all. Free will, legalism, fundamentalism. But now, after that you have known God, now wait a minute, or rather are known of God. What does that word known mean? That means know and approved of. That He knows everything there is to know about you. Huh? Everything. That's what our Lord Jesus said. Ain't that what He said? Look in John 10 just a minute. Look in John 10. That's what our Master said. We're known of God. That means we're approved of God. Known of God. When did He know us? He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Ordained you. That's the only way I can find any. You know, I was like Paul and I was like everybody else. You know, I served other gods. I served other gods. Did great service for them. Committed to them. But God made Himself known to me. And I know Him, but how come I know Him? Because He first knew me. Rather known of God. Now look here. Look here in John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Watch this. And know my sheep. And my sheep know me. As the Father knows me. This knowing is understanding, believing, receiving. Even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for who? The sheep. Look down verse 27. John 10. My sheep, hear my voice. They hear Him when He speaks. They hear Him in His Word. They hear Him in the Gospel. They hear His voice. And they hear Him when they read. More about Jesus in His Word. Having communion with my Lord. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I know where they're at. I know who they are. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now we're in these verses that I read. It's a knowledge. This knowledge that I know them. It tells us that it's personal affection. I know them. I know them. I know them. I know them intimately. I know their persons. I know their hearts. I know their minds. I know their intents. I know their desires. I know them. And it tells us that this knowledge here, I know them. I lay down my life for them. It tells us that there's a redemption for those people. I lay down my life for them that I know. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for them that I love. I lay down my life for them that I give eternal life to. And oh, beloved, listen. And it tells us this knowledge here where he says, I know them. And I lay down my life for them. It tells us that he's going to be faithful to us. And he's going to never let us perish. He says, they shall never perish. Never perish. And he tells us that he'll never let us follow a stranger. Never let us be deceived. That he says that I'll watch over us, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. A stranger, they won't follow. He's going to watch over them that he knows. That's why I don't have any. If the Lord knows you, there ain't no danger of you ever not knowing him. There ain't no danger of you leaving him. There ain't. And all you see is God in grace that reveals himself. Look in Matthew 11. It's God in grace that reveals himself. I told you, sovereign grace. That's what it is. God making himself known. Look here in Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You see, God in grace reveals himself. He hides it from some, reveals it to others. There are people who are not his sheep. There are people who are his sheep. And beloved, it's God that in grace comes and reveals himself. You see, his eternal purpose of grace in Christ was to make his people come to know him. To know him. Hey, tell what our master said here in verse 27 of Matthew. All things, Matthew 11, are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal him. Huh? Oh, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should do what? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is what eternal life is that they know God. Know you, God. Know you, my Father. Know you. God, who has saved us and called us with the holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose.
Yeah.
And grace.
Amen.
Which was given us. When? Before the world began. Where? In Christ. You see, God begins to speak. And he speaks where at? In his word. And as he begins to speak to us, we begin to listen. And we hear his voice in his word. We stand up and start listening to things we never heard before. We begin to hear his voice in his word. And as we hear that voice in his word, instead of going up, we start coming down. Instead of being full of ourselves, we start being emptied. Instead of thinking well of ourselves, we start having right estimations of ourselves. Why? Because God, when making himself known to us, he starts telling us about our sin. Starts telling us about our guilt. Starts telling us about our rebellion. Starts telling us about our high-mindedness and our pride and our self-righteousness. And then he comes and shows us our weakness and our inability and our blindness. And he brings us to the place where we know and judge ourselves. Write death upon ourselves. He brings us to know and judge ourselves hopeless and helpless and cry out, Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Huh?
Yeah.
Cry out for mercy. Cry out for forgiveness. And leave it in His hands whether we get it or not. Oh my. This idea that God's got to do, that's as foreign to the Scriptures. If you know God and I know God, it's because He was pleased to make Himself known to us.
Amen.
Let me give you four things involved in knowing God. Four things it's involved in. First of all, the first thing is we listen to God's Word. We listen to it and receive it. Receive it as the Holy Spirit interprets it, applying it to ourselves, not somebody who's not here. Not to the person sitting down. I wish they'd been here today and heard that. God, if they're supposed to be here, God would have had them here. And he's got a way. If he wants you to know something, you're going to know it. That's right. And oh, we listen to it and receive it as the Holy Spirit interprets it, applying to ourselves. The Word came to us. The Gospel came to us. Not in word only. Now, a lot of you, all you ever hear is my word or a preacher's word. But when it comes in power, Holy Ghost power, the Gospel power, and it comes in power, and when it comes in power, it comes to subdue the mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings every thought unto the obedience, what Christ did, not what I'm doing.
Amen.
And oh my, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Oh my, it comes not only with power, but it comes with assurance that this is God speaking. This is the Word of God, and God is speaking to me, talking to me personally. You see, this business of salvation, it's an individual thing. I don't care if he brings 100 at a time. They come, every single one of them come as an individual.
Right.
Dealt with individually. Dealt with personally. God making himself known to that person. Of his own will began he us with what? The Word of truth. And we listen to it. We listen to it. I've told you before, you know, that this little boy would come in Spurgeon's tabernacle, and his daddy told him, he said, that if God speaks to you, he'll speak through you to his word, and that preacher up there preaching. So he'd come down, sit on the very front row, and he sat with his ear behind, hand behind his ear. Asked him, so why are you doing with your hand behind you? He said, God's going to speak to me, and I'm listening. I'm listening. He said, God speak to me through his word. I want to hear what he's got to say. I sure don't want to miss it if he got something to say to me. Huh? Read an article yesterday by David Plager. Went by a church, and on that sign, on a church building, on the sign says, God's in control of all things. God controls all things if you let him. Now that makes a lot of sense. That's as diametrically opposed to one another as daylight is dark. And he says that. He said that tells me one thing, that the people there are blind as bats.
That's right.
Death is a post.
That's right.
And dead is a hammer. God is in control if you let him. See, that's what I'm talking about, knowing God. We laughed about that. And we thought, oh, that's awful. Who made us to differ? Why do we know God? And we know He is in control. And they ain't never nobody going to let Him do what He wants to. He's going to always do what He wants to. And you know why we know Him? And how we rejoice in knowing Him? We want Him to do everything He wants. Every bit of His will in this world, we rejoice in it. We find comfort in it. We find assurance in it. And oh, let me tell you this. So that's the first thing. Listening to His Word, receiving it as the Holy Spirit applies it and interprets it and applying it, taking it to ourselves. And the second thing involved in knowing God is seeing and understanding God's nature and character as His Word reveals it and as His works reveal it. Huh? He's a just God and a Savior.
Amen.
We know Him as just. He cannot score without our sin. He can't let us get by with our sin. He can't let us get by with our rebellion. He's a just God.
Amen.
And then He makes us know how He can be a Savior at the same time. We know of His nature, that He's righteous, He's holy, He's just, He's gracious, He's powerful, He's loving. He's a God of judgment, a God of wrath. Oh my, no wonder David said, when I consider the heavens, the stars that You've made, that You've ordained, I say, what is man that You're mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that You'd come and visit him? What does the fall of Adam teach us? That God's a just God. The day you eat there, you're going to die. That's just. That's justice. But He slew the animals. That's justice. Covered His nakedness with those. Shed that blood. grace and mercy, finding the sinner, love and power and justice and righteousness covering the sinner. The sinner died. But where it at? In that substitute, in that blood. So God can justly now cover His nakedness with that blood, with that cloth, with that animal skin. What does the flood teach us about God's nature? God seen the wickedness of man, said, I'm going to wipe them out. Going to absolutely destroy them. But you know, I'm going to save the race. I'm not going to destroy everybody. There's a man out there just as lost as anybody else, just as high-minded, just as wicked. His name was Noah. He had three sons and a wife and three daughter-in-laws. God came to Noah and he found grace in the eyes, or found favor. He was approved of God. And God made him righteous. And what did the justice of God destroys everybody else. But he made a place for him to be saved. For him to bear the wrath of God in that rain. And he put him in that ark. One way in. One way in. God said, come thou into the ark. Come in with me. And he shut through the door. God shut the door. Judgment fell on the whole world. And the whole world was destroyed. But Noah and his family were saved. The only way they could. They had to endure God's wrath. But they didn't endure it. The ark did. Saved. Do you see it? And the third thing involved in knowing God is coming to Him. Coming to Him as we see His nature and His character. Bowing to Him as He's revealed. Doing what He commands. Doing what He commands. And the fourth thing is recognizing and rejoicing and resting in the love, in the grace, in the mercy He has shown us. It's shown us in coming to us, drawing us, bringing us into union and fellowship with Himself. Oh my, He did that. He did that. And you know, let me give you four other things. That's four things involved in knowing God. There's four types used in the Scriptures describing the way that we know God. Four types used in the Scriptures that describe the way we have an acquaintance with God, the way we know God. As a son knows his father, as a son, we're called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. We cry, Abba, Father. No longer servants, but sons. We know Him as a son knows his father. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then secondly, it's as a wife knowing her husband. Christ is our bridegroom. We're the bride. God is our husband. We're the wife. And He hates putting away. And oh, when a wife knows her husband, and it's that intimate, close, two become one. And then thirdly, we know God as a subject knows his king. As a subject sees him on his throne, sees him in his glory, sees him in his robe, sees him with his crown, sees him with his power, sees him with his authority. And then as a sheep, knowing his shepherd. Oh my, he got a fold and the shepherd said, come in, rings that bell. Hey, we run for the fold. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh my, and all of these things, a son knowing his father, a wife knowing her husband, a subject knowing his king, a sheep knowing his shepherd. All these things shows us looking up to the one that's known. The son looks up to the father. He's in heaven. In subjection to. Son subject to his father, a wife to a husband, a subject to his king, a sheep to his shepherd. Dependent upon. Oh, absolutely dependent upon. Amen. And I tell you, the one known, the father, the husband, the king, the shepherd, the one known, taking responsibility for the well-being of that one. The father takes responsibility for the son. The husband takes responsibility for the wife. The king takes responsibility for his subjects. The shepherd takes responsibility for his sheep. Oh my. Well, let me hurry. How in the world can we know God like this? It's an act of grace, sovereign grace, made known to us. Well, we can only know God this way, the way I've described it. through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God being manifest in the flesh. Philip said, show us the Father, and it'll be enough. He said, Philip, have you known? He said, you're going away, and we don't know the way. We don't know how to get there. And so if you'll show us the Father, that'll be sufficient. He said, Philip, if I've been with you such a long time and you've not seen me, huh? He says, you know the way. You know the way. Because I'm that way. You're going to come to the Father, I'm that way. No man's going to come unto the Father but me. You won't know the truth about God. I'm that truth. You won't know the life of God. Have the life of God. I'm that life. I'm that life. You see, we had no claims upon Him. And our Lord Jesus came and spoke with authority. He caused the light to shine out of darkness into our hearts. No man seen God, the only begotten Son made Him known to us. And oh, we come, and when He came, we recognize Him as He is, as God, our God, the one with the words of eternal life. We also go away. Lord, to whom shall we go? Huh? Philip said, Thomas fell down before Him and said, my Lord and my God. And oh, let me tell you something. The privilege of this knowledge of knowing God in Christ, God manifest in the flesh, God dwelling among us, the Word made flesh, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. God made known to us in Christ. The privilege of this knowledge, it produced in His disciples an allegiance to the Lord Jesus, which transformed them. It transformed their lives, and it will all who know them. It's a radical change. Huh? That's why they say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to trust? Oh, when He says, my sheep hear my voice, what that means is when we hear His voice, we hear His claim on us. We hear His promise given to us. I give unto them eternal life. We hear His call.
Amen.
The hour is coming when now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. He that honoreth the Son honors the Father. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. And oh, He told His disciples, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me and believeth on me shall never hunger again, never thirst again. We're not looking for nothing else. We found what we wanted. We found it. And He found us. Oh, before we hungered and thirsted to be right, to be accepted, labored at it, hurt at it, cried about it, got on augers and wept and said, oh, we're so far from God. Oh, we don't live right. We don't do this. We don't do that. Our Lord says, when you eat me and you drink my flesh, you'll never, ever look for anything else to satisfy you again. He'll do it. Huh? And oh my, He says, oh, I'm the good shepherd. Oh, the good shepherd. You mean He laid down His life for me? Suffered for me? Shed His blood for me? And He said, I'm the resurrection. Though a man were dead, yet shall he live. But if he's alive now, he ain't never going to die. He's going to lay the body back into the dust where it come from, but he's never going to die. You can't be joined to me. No life and die.
That's right.
That's why we rejoice at believers when they go on. We rejoice in what God's done for them. It grieves us, but it was the same time we rejoice in life. They've entered into life. Real life. And the Lord Jesus' voice is heard. You say, I hear Him. When His claim is acknowledged, oh, you're the Lord. You're God. You're Christ. You're my Savior. His promise is trusted. We believe Him. We trust every promise He's made. We answer His call, come unto me. And we come. From then on, He is known as the Shepherd, as the King, as our Master, as our Lord, as our Head, as our Redeemer. As our all in all, our righteousness, everything we need. We're complete in Him. We know that. Oh, beloved, to know the Lord Jesus Christ is to be saved by Him. Saved by Him. Here, now, right now. And hereafter, to be saved from sin. To be saved from guilt. To be saved from death. Oh, to know God, this is what I said. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ. Don't let that wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let that powerful man glory in his power. Don't let that wealthy man glory in his wealth. He gets, I'm going to give away $500 million. And everybody puts it on the news and brags on him and all that. Don't let him glory in that. Glory in this, that you know me. You know me. You know God. Knowing God is a matter of personal dealing. Personal dealing. Dealing with Him as He makes Himself known. And you being dealt with by Him every single day. But it starts. There's a starting time. Let me tell you. Knowing God is a matter of personal involvement. There's two things that give unbelievers away to me, and I've told you this before, but it's two things. Their attendance to the gospel. If a person don't attend the gospel regularly and faithfully, that's a dead giveaway, that my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. The gospel's what gives you life. The gospel's what feeds you. And you can't hear it and believe it and not love it and attend to it. And secondly, anybody that's stingy. Anybody that's not generous in giving. And that's why I say knowing God is a matter of personal involvement. You can't know God not be involved. You can't. What does it involve? It involves your mind. Don't it?
Yes.
It involves your will. Your will's involved in this. It involves your emotions. It involves your feelings. You know, I can't be married to her. We'd be married 37 years next week. I can't be married to her and not be involved. I can't love her and not be involved with my will, with my mind, with my body, with my affections, with my understanding, with my emotions. It can't be done. And can we know God and not be involved in our will, our mind, our devotion, our everything about us? You see, it's an intellectual involvement. Our mind's involved in this thing. You're hearing what things are being said. You got to hear it, process it through your mind. It's an intellectual. Faith involves the heart. Faith involves the heart believing. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mind, you become informed. The mind, you know, we hear and you become informed. With the heart, faith is involved. When the Bible talks of faith, it means getting involved. Abraham believed God. What did he do? Went out. Paul said, I know whom I believed and I've committed some things. And not only is it an intellectual involvement, it involves the mind. It's a willing involvement. I want to be involved in God. I want to be involved in this relationship with God. I want to be committed. I want to know Him in His Word. I have a will to do this. And it's an emotional involvement. What I mean by that is, beloved, our feelings, our emotions are involved with the ups and downs of God's cause in this world. When Barnabas went to Antioch and he saw the grace of God there among those believers, the Scripture said he was glad. And when we see somebody converted, we rejoice. We're glad. We go up with the kingdom of God. And then, when it goes down, when people lose interest, when they're not paying attention, when they're cold and indifferent, and just do the things that they want to do and come and go as they please, irrespective of what we think or anybody else thinks. We're like David. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they heed not your word. They don't heed not your law. And the believer often feels shame for failing his Lord. And yet at the same time, there's times he feels the delights of God's everlasting love and His dealings with him. Sometimes he weeps because of his lack of conformity, and other times he rejoices if God makes Himself known to him, setting out no matter where he's at. You can't not know God and be involved. And the most important thing, and I want you to understand this and I'll be done. The most important thing then is not that I know God. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you now. You listen to what I'm going to tell you. Please listen. The most important thing is not that I know God, but that God knows me. See, you can't know Him without Him first knowing you. And I find the most, I can't tell you how much comfort I find. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved me. The Lord knoweth the foundation of God standeth sure. Why? The Lord knows them that are His. The name of the Lord is a stronghold. And the Lord knows them that trust in Him. Look over in Isaiah 49 with me just a minute. Isaiah 49. We've looked at this so many times, but it won't hurt to look at it again. You see, He knows me. That's what I mean. Our Lord said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." What does He mean, "I never knew you"? He knew who they was, knew what they'd done, called them workers of iniquity. That meant that He never had this intimate acquaintance, this intimate knowledge of them. And that's what's so wondrous about this. When we come to God, we first think that we know Him, and then we find out we know Him now because He first knew us. That's what's so glorious about the gospel. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Oh, yea, they may forget. Lots of them do. That woman down in Texas killed all of her children in one day. All of them. Five of them. Yea, they may forget. Watch this, though. Yet will I not forget thee. I won't forget you. Why? Because I've craven you upon the palms of my hand. When we get to glory, who's sitting on that throne? A lamb as it had been slain. And watch this. And thy walls are continued before me. What did Satan say to Job? He said, "You put a wall around him. You put a hedge around him. Take him down and I'll destroy him. He'll cuss you." God says, "Your walls, the walls that I build around you, they're continued before me. And ain't nobody going to breach them. Ain't nobody going to breach them." Huh? Oh, He knows me. You see, all my knowledge of Him depends upon Him. It depends on Him sustaining that initiative He first took, that coming to me. He must keep coming to me. As a Father, He loves me. As a God, He loves me. As the one who created me and chose me and brought me to faith in Christ, He loves me. His eye is always upon me. There's no moment in time when His care for me ever wavers up or down in any degree. Oh, what knowledge, what knowledge. His knowledge of me and His love for me is based on what He knew of me at the very first, shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. He knows the worst about me. He can't find out any new thing about me. And He loves us and knows us still. We find out things about people and it just... And our affections wavers and what, but never His. Never His. And oh, what humbling knowledge. Oh, what humbling knowledge. He knows all the twisted, perverse things about me. He sees more corruption in me than I see in myself. And yet, He loves me. He knows me. And here's something. He keeps me wanting to know Him. Desire Him. Oh, what a motive. What a reason to love, to worship, to bless, to praise, and to honor God while we live in this world. For reasons only known to Himself, He wants me to have fellowship with Him. He wants you. And He brings you into fellowship with Him. He wants to make Himself known to me, and He does make Himself known as my Father. Gave His Son to die, to put away my sin, and to give me His righteousness. He did this to bring me to Himself, to bring me a knowledge of Him. And beloved, We may get to the place where we won't even know our name. But it don't make any difference. He knows us. I know my sheep. Our Father. Gracious, gracious Father. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you for your word. Oh, thank you for knowing us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, calling us by your grace, knowing us before we were formed in our mother's belly. Thank you. What wondrous knowledge. And that you brought us to know you, to talk with you, commune with you, fellowship with you. What knowledge. What glory. What power. What mercy. What grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Number 67. God willing.